Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, the organization that helps families navigate the foster system.
It's really critical for us that we don't just drop the ball when the children go home, because right now that's what happens.
Then, gardening with dismantled and repurposed guns.
You know exactly how you take your morning coffee. Knowing where to get news you can rely on is just as simple. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. TEDx UGA is an annual event dedicated to the exchange of ideas in the University of Georgia and Athens communities. Mary Rathbone is an Athens resident who will speak at this year's event on March 27th. Rathbone is the founder of Moms Adopting Moms, a nonprofit dedicated to working alongside biological parents whose children have entered the foster care system. Not only does the organization work to reunite parents and children, as Rathbone reveals, it seeks to transform the foster care system as a whole. Rathbone sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to give a preview of her TED Talk. Here's their conversation.
Can you give us an overview of Moms Adopting Moms in a little bit more depth?
Sure. So I was a foster parent for 5 years, and then I became a CASA. And when I was a foster parent, there were some children that came to me. They actually came to me twice, and I had to take them to visitation, and I met their mother, and I saw how much she adored her children. And I always got into foster care, like most, unfortunately, do, to adopt. And when I saw her loving on and kissing and hugging her kids and them her, I knew there was no way I could adopt her kids away from her. But I also knew she needed a tremendous amount of help. And long story, which you'll hear a little bit more about in the TED Talk, she did achieve reunification, and she became my co-founder. And together we tackled both sides of the system that are, like I mentioned, too often adversarial. She represents the biological parents and helps walk with them. And I represent the foster parents, who are some of the most wonderful people, hardworking people in the world. But the system is very taxed, and it's very difficult to navigate, especially if you have zero education beyond maybe a GED, maybe a high school diploma, and you just had the rug kind of pulled out from underneath you with your children being taken. And so we want to help these parents, but we want to help them for life.
And how does that kind of change the paradigm of what exists about people who enter the system? How does that change what they experience?
Well, right now, not only the adversarial piece, but the distrust is really prevalent. And there is quite a lot of, I would say, maybe jaded feelings in the system because on both sides. And so we are trying to break that down and help people see things in a fresh, new way where foster parents are listened to more, but they are also there to help post-reunification. It's really critical for us that we don't just drop the ball when the children go home, because right now that's what happens. We support and congratulate, and the foster parents' hearts are broken. And the children go home and they are severed almost always from their foster parents. And we're introducing a new model where that doesn't have to be the case anymore.
Hmm. And what do both families gain through this new process?
Well, everybody is a win in this new model that we're introducing. The biological parents win, the foster parents win, but especially the kids win because it's lasting support. It is not having kids re-enter foster care within 2 years, because right now the national average is 27% are coming back into foster care. Our system is incredibly broken. Anyone that knows anything about the child welfare system will tell you that. So this is a model that we think will really be interesting and will really touch almost everyone, whether they realize it or not. And so we want it to be an educational, but also just a great opportunity for people to find hope in something that feels overwhelming and sad, and it doesn't have to be.
What about the foster system right now is so broken that leads almost 30%, as you say, of kids to go back into foster care?
Yeah. So I would just say you'll have to come listen to my TED Talk, because we talk about why it's important that the foster parents stay involved in the moms and the children's lives post-reunification. We believe in these peer mentors wholeheartedly that have been there and done that. They've navigated the foster care system. They've navigated recovery themselves. And it really helps to have someone in your corner that understands where you've been, that builds trust on day one. And so those two things are our two secret weapons to fixing the foster care crisis.
Can you give us some perspective on how many kids in Georgia are in the foster care system?
Well, I read about it the other day that right now across the United States, one child is brought into the foster care system every minute on average, if you do the math. And that's overwhelming to me. We have so many kids in Georgia, well over 10,000 now in the foster care system. What's also heartbreaking is that we have a ton of kids who have had their parental rights with their parents severed permanently, and there's no adoptive placement. And so they're sitting and they're waiting for someone to come and rescue them. And statistics say that those kids will end up either homeless or in jail or sexually trafficked. And by falling on the side of let's fix the family and let's help the family and support them for life, we can take a lot of the pressure and a lot of the stress off of the foster care system, because we just simply don't have enough foster care families that are willing to adopt. And when they do adopt, they usually close their homes for fostering. And that's really, really tough on a already taxed system.
Do we have any idea why these families experience crises that lead to children having to enter the foster care system?
Yes, we have a lot of insight into the women that we work with and the studies that have been done. And an overwhelming amount of these mothers were sexually and physically abused as children. They started drug use at a young age. They were not able to finish their education for whatever reason. Many of them may have gotten addicted to some sort of pain medication, some sort of opioid or some other thing, which led to further drug use. Because of their backgrounds, they usually get involved with relationships that are not healthy. They just don't have a different perspective on life, one that values education, one that values choosing a career. What did you want to be? That's one of the first questions we ask. What did you want to be when you were a little girl? And we get nurses. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to do this. And we're like, well, you still can. But I'll talk to you more about that in the talk. But giving them hope and showing them a different way of life. And we find that our foster parents are the best possible people to show a different way of living that is actually achievable. I think the stories of these moms are often misunderstood, and I'm grateful for the chance kind of to tell them out loud. These aren't people that I just mark off a list. They're people I've gotten to know and that I love. I think they're some of the greatest people in the world. They're the most respectful, kind. They just want a chance. They want hope. They have problems, but who doesn't? So I think the Athens community is a wonderfully loving, just giving community. And I hope it sparks more collaboration and understanding around foster care. I hope it shifts how we think about support from short-term intervention to long-term relationship. That's really critically important, I think.
Well, Mary Rathbone, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and good luck with your TED Talk.
Thank you so much.
Mary Rathbone is the founder of Athens nonprofit Moms Adopting Moms. She will speak at this year's TEDx UGA event on March 27th at the Morton Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets can be reserved at tedxuga.com/register. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Here Now brings you the latest news from around the country.
I have a life brimming with people who've made different choices, and I've never tried in my personal life to impose my choices on them.
It seems to me that people are being responsible, and yet it keeps spreading.
I've been door knocking and making phone calls and working in offices. I'm willing to do anything for this man.
Hear the latest news as it develops on the next Here and Now from NPR News.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. The Table is a campus ministry that serves about 100 University of Georgia students. On March 28th, The Table will accept donated firearms during an event called Guns to Gardens. The ministry will work with blacksmithing organization Raw Tools South to dismantle donated firearms and turn them into gardening tools. Haley Lerner is the campus minister at The Table and an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. She sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss how the Guns to Garden event connects to her and her students' faith. Here's their conversation.
What's leading you to host this event, Guns to Gardens?
Every year, our campus ministry attends a retreat at Montreat College Conference in North Carolina. And in January 2025, two of the keynote speakers were Scotty and Stan, a duo that operates this organization called Raw Tools. And they take unwanted firearms and destroy them and turn them into garden tools and art. And so we got to learn about their ministry and their call, their work that they do, and thought, this is really cool. This is really impactful. In January 2025, we were about 4 or 5 months since the Appalachian school shooting that impacted members of our community directly, and just living in the United States in the 21st century. Recognize that gun violence in many forms is something that affects all of us. And so after some brainstorming and realizing that this is never, an event like this has never taken place in Georgia, we thought, well, why couldn't we do it? You know, coming from a perspective of a theology of compassion and justice and one of nonviolence, this feels like something that we could make happen. We have a large parking lot. We have students who are interested in this, students who want to live into their faith and be actionable in what they believe, and just thought we could make this happen.
So can you give us a brief overview of the event?
Yeah, so on March 28th, a Saturday, we are inviting community members to anonymously bring unwanted firearms to our property at 1250 South Lumpkin Street. We are asking folks to have unloaded guns in the back of their car that they will drive onto the property, and we will remove and check for safety, and then we will have chop saws in our parking lot ready to chop those guns up. We are offering gift cards as a thank you for folks who are bringing these unwanted guns to be destroyed. And those will then get taken by Raw Tools to be turned into garden tools and art at a later date. But at the time when those guns are brought to the property, they are donated to us. So there is no exchange of ownership. And by the time the donor leaves the lot, it will not be a gun.
Why might somebody want to donate their gun?
That is a great question. There are a number of reasons why someone might want to donate their gun. The biggest reason, or the most common reason someone would, is if there are inherited guns or guns left behind by a loved one who has passed. And so the most common person who might bring a gun is a widow whose husband had guns and she does not want them anymore. But yes, the most common would be guns that are inherited and the person does not want them. Guns that may have been used in a suicide or another violent crime that are returned to the family and the family does not know what to do with this. A couple of other just life changes. Someone has a new mental health diagnosis in their family and recognizes that having a gun in the home would be unsafe, or there are children, or there are elderly folks who are no longer using these guns, whether they be for hunting or otherwise, that they don't know what to do with. I want to mention that this is not a political event. This event is not seeking to challenge the Second Amendment. It's not seeking to challenge anyone's right to own a gun. What it is doing is offering an alternative for folks who may have unwanted guns that they don't know what to do with, and offer an alternative to make our community safer by removing these guns from our community. What is really cool about this opportunity is that it is anonymous. So, you know, you don't have to provide a story as to why. We just, you know, allow that however the spirit leads you to bring that unwanted firearm.
What happens to the guns once they're given over to the table?
They will be cut apart. There will be a number of chop saws and students and volunteers just working to destroy them. There are specific ways, and we're really lucky that Raw Tools will come and partner with us. So we have the experts, the blacksmithing chop saw experts, to come and help us do that safely. And they will get cut up into pieces. And all of those pieces will then go back to Raw Tools, and their blacksmiths there will work on creating them into the new garden tools and art.
You also touched on this, but will there be safety measures in place?
Yeah, we have informed the local police department. They will not be on site, but they are aware that it is going on. Part of their day has volunteers, including one of the members of Raw Tools, as part of the firearm safety check. So they have done this event many times. They take the guns and ensure that they are unloaded and ensure they are in a safe area. And so each of those, there's a number of those steps in place to ensure that there is safety.
Now that we've covered some of the practicalities, can we go into a little bit of the theology behind the event? Why might this be taking place at a campus ministry?
There are a couple of ways to answer that question. One, we have the privilege of serving from the campus ministry perspective, have the privilege of serving as a hub for many congregations and community partners. Because we are supported by a number of churches in the area, it allowed us to kind of do a deeper outreach of who and what kinds of communities and organizations would want to be involved in this. But also just generally theologically, we are a campus ministry that believes first and foremost that our God is a God of love that calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is really hard to love your neighbor if you are willing to shoot them or if you are willing to harm them. And so we also operate out of this belief that it is God who calls us to be peacemakers. And it is God who has taught us that to love your enemies also means to ensure that there is peace and justice and safety for everyone. At the table, we like to say everyone deserves to be seen as beloved children of God and not out of fear. And so I also have been a student of peace theology for many, many years. And my ministry and my beliefs are very heavily influenced by the desire for peace. And so all of that kind of moves in and through the ministry and how I live and move and have my being in the world. And so there is both a personal theology as well as this public reality and public theology of a world that is so ready to be cruel to one another that maybe we are called to live differently.
Reverend Haley Lerner, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Haley Lerner is the campus minister at the table in Athens and an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. She is also the organizer of Guns to Gardens, an event that will turn donated firearms into gardening tools on March 28th from 12 to 3 p.m. The event will take place at the table at 1250 South Lumpkin Street. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.